This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep with Renee Montaigne. Making Thanksgiving dinner is a little like the lottery. Some of us will win today. You come up with a moist, succulent turkey that enshrines you in the family holiday hall of fame. And some of us will lose, end up eating a bird that tastes like cardboard. But there is somebody willing to make the mistakes for you so that you don't have to, and Renee found them in Brookline, Massachusetts. That's where America's Test Kitchen solves culinary problems every week, just as they do on public TV.
But when badly made, chicken fried steak is a nightmare of grease, and coconut cream pie can be a soggy smack in the mouth.
This is Chris Kimball's popular PBS television show, an offshoot of his magazine, Cooks Illustrated, both of which have a near fanatical following among those who love to get it right. On the subject of Thanksgiving, Chris Kimball would like to set your mind at ease. No matter what you do, your Thanksgiving cannot turn into the disaster his friends once endured. It started with a 22-pound turkey, which they took out of the freezer a little too late to thaw, so no main course. That's bad.
But the best part was they decided to do snails, escargot, and they went and bought live snails, and they put them in a pot, and they started to steam them, and the snails crawled up the sides of the pot and off onto the stove.
They must have heard the click, click, click.
They heard that little clacking noise, yeah, with the shells, yeah. So I don't think it got any worse than that.
Standing in the gleaming kitchen that serves as the magazine laboratory and the TV show's studio, it is hard to believe that anything could go wrong here. But, of course, it is just one long experiment by the staff on what works and what doesn't. As far as Chris Kimball is concerned, there's really only one Thanksgiving no-no.
Of all the things you should never do, is to buy store-bought gravy, because they are just awful. And making it home is relatively simple, and there's no comparison.
All it takes, really, is pan drippings, flour, and turkey broth, maybe a little wine. Or do what I do, let your cousin Joella make it. When it comes to cranberry sauce, no need to feel guilty about serving the kind that holds the shape of the can it came in. After all, it's a tradition.
It isn't Thanksgiving if you don't hear that sound.
I love that noise. You know, canned stuff isn't bad, but we, 3 or 4 years ago, spent weeks developing a fresh cranberry sauce with real cranberries. It turned out that the best recipe was on the back of the bag. And all we did was add a quarter teaspoon of salt. It takes 15 minutes, and you're done. And it's terrific.
Utensils are also big here at America's Test Kitchen. And what sound more sums up Thanksgiving than the comforting buzz of an electric carving knife? The crack research team here has tested a lot of electric knives and finds the best of them work as well as a standard carving knife. One tip, remove the entire breast first, then carve it into slices. Plus, they made a really cool discovery.
Back in the 50s and 60s, everyone remembers electric carving knives as a joke. And we found, actually, the best and highest purpose for an electric carving knife is for a tart or a pie that's got a tough top surface. Even better than carving the turkey.
And I'm here to say, having tried to penetrate the armadillo-like surface of a pecan pie the old-fashioned way with a non-electric knife.
I'm now, of course, smushing the piece of pie so that half of the left side of it is falling out. This is a pretty pathetic-looking piece of pie.
The electric knife did indeed make cutting the pie as easy as pie. If a little intimidating. Back now to the main course. Chris Kimball remembers when he was growing up, his mother, like a lot of 60s homemakers, swore by a recipe that called for slow roasting in a temperature as low as 140 degrees. A tradition, by the way, she insisted on carrying on for years.
She lived in Connecticut. We would drive down, and the family would get there. The bird had been in the oven for like 10 hours already. And my role was to turn the oven up so that the skin would actually crisp up. And we could actually eat on Thanksgiving, not the next day.
Your role, as in your role was to slip in there when your mother wasn't looking and
yes.
and push the temperature up?
During mixing the drinks, yes. I would rush into the kitchen and turn the thermometer up. And I said to her finally, you know, that's kind of dangerous to let the turkey sit at that low temperature for such a long period of time. And her answer was, well, she hadn't killed any of us yet. So she liked to live on the edge.
The modern approach started out as something of a fad 10 years ago and is fast becoming a tradition, cooking at a high temperature after brining the bird. Brining seals the meat, which holds in the juices, so the turkey comes out moist on the inside, crisp on the outside.
Brining essentially is salted water. Use 1 cup of table salt per gallon of water. And you put it in the water and keep it cool. And for a large turkey, 6 to 8 hours. The problem is, who's got room in the refrigerator for a turkey? Nobody.
And would you have to buy a special little trash can, probably?
Well, just get a beer cooler. And throw the water in, the turkey in the beer cooler, and get some ice packs, you know, from the freezer and throw them in, close the top, you know, put it down in the basement, you're fine.
Obviously, if you haven't brined your bird already, it's too late. But if you haven't already stuffed it, you could try another new and improved cooking method, butterflying. The problem with a whole turkey, says Chris Kimball, is that by the time the dark meat is cooked just right, the white meat is all dried out. Butterflying, that is, flattening the bird, allows all of the meat to cook evenly. You begin by removing the backbone.
Poultry shears is the best, safest way to do it.
You just clip it on
either side of the backbone. And then when you put it down on a flat surface, you know, skin side up, it won't be flat. It looks
triangle.
Like a poorly made tent. Yeah, so then you have to flatten it. We use a $6 auto mechanics rubber mallet, which you find at the hardware store, which is great. Or you can use a big rolling pin, or you can use a meat pounder or a saucepan, anything you want, and just whack it, which is, especially on Thanksgiving morning, just whacking a 20-pound turkey feels great. And you flatten it out, and then we would put some butter and salt and pepper on top, and then we put that in a very hot oven, 450 degrees, and roast it for a little less than 2 hours.
And if you just can't bear the thought of stuffing that hasn't been infused with turkey drippings, no problem. Simply put the stuffing at the bottom of the pan and lay the turkey on top.
When the food's on the table and everyone's gathered around, do you have a Thanksgiving blessing?
Yeah, that's done by one of the four kids. It's usually the youngest. My 6-year-old daughter is now the one giving it. And it's relatively short. The essence of it is, you know, thanks for the blessings of the table and our neighbors. And not to get too philosophical about it, but for me it's the cooking. And the bringing the people together more than the food, actually. And gossip, by the way. That's the other major pleasure of it, is to have people come over. That's the essence of Thanksgiving for us.
Today, America's Test Kitchen is closed for the holiday. Chris Kimball is serving turkey and all the fixings to 14 family and friends gathered at his farmhouse in Vermont.